Jack snapped back into consciousness. On the other side of the fall, Ryan and Christy pulled at the rocks with grim determination. Although the tunnel looked stable enough for the moment, they knew there wasn't a second to waste in getting to their companions. Jack, in a hole barely big enough to move around in, began to dig toward the sounds as much as possible. To his relief, there was only an inch or two of rockfall between them, and he was soon able to make a hole, squinting against the light as Ryan shone the flashlight through.
Jack, where are the others?
Doc, just behind me somewhere. Fellas, the rocks came down. JB and Mildred?
Let's try and get through to Doc next. If he was just behind Jack, there might be only a few inches of rock there, too.
We better hope so. I don't reckon we've got much time.
Some distance away, unable to hear the others, both Mildred and JB painfully regained consciousness.
Oh. Oh, John.
Mildred groped around in the darkness, guided by JB's labored breathing. Her fingers brushed against him.
Oh, John, are you okay?
Oh, I don't know. I feel heavy in the legs, like I'm pinned.
Groping blindly, it took Mildred a few seconds to determine that the armorer's feet were trapped in the rockfall. Although confined, Mildred was free, and nothing felt broken, although every muscle ached and she had a nasty suspicion that she had sprained her right wrist.
Oh, listen, John. I can help you move the rocks, but I've only got one good hand. John, listen to me. Try to stay awake.
Mildred slowly, painfully moved the rocks from JB's feet, careful not to disturb the surroundings. Only when she had safely done this could she even afford to think about making progress to the others. A few feet ahead of Mildred, Jack was making progress toward Doc, passing the rocks and stones out to Ryan and Christy. They worked in a chain. It was quicker in the enclosed space afforded them. Jack could see a dark patch emerging through the rocks, a dark patch with a gnarled hand at the end of it.
I see him.
Jack cleared enough space around Doc to free the old man. Doc raised his head as the weak light illuminated him.
As glad as I always am to see your face, friend Jack, I have never been as glad as I am now.
Talk later. Move now.
Gently, Jack cleared more space around Doc and pulled him clear of the rocks. The old man had been lucky. A long slab had fallen across him, preventing the smaller pieces from weighing down and crushing his back.
John, I can hear something.
Mildred began to make a path, hearing the movements of rock caused by Jack moving Doc, and figuring correctly that they weren't too far away. Meanwhile, Jack had managed to pull Doc out of the pileup. While Ryan cast an anxious glance at the area beyond, Christy checked on the old man.
How is he?
Not so good. We need to get him out of here as soon as possible. All the dust and shit from the cave-in has given him some kind of respiratory problem.
Soon as we find Mildred and JB.
Ryan watched the point where Jack's body was disappearing into the rocks as he tunneled toward the missing companions.
John, hang in there. We're nearly there.
I hear him.
Like Doc, Mildred had never been so glad to see Jack's face as when he removed the last piece of rock that separated them. Jack grinned but said nothing, moving back to allow Mildred to wriggle through the small hole he had made.
John?
Yeah.
John, I'm through. Just follow me.
Ryan?
I feel it.
Ryan rushed to help Jack pull Mildred through the gap.
It's about to go.
John's hurt, and he's still back there.
Mildred turned back to see if JB was following her. There was no sign of him. Suddenly, it was as if someone had taken hold of the cave and tugged it. The rock around them pulsed and moved as if it were living matter. The dirt floor rose up to meet them as they were flung down. The bulb in the flashlight broke, and the companions were plunged into darkness. They didn't know if they were moving forward or backward, up or down. And then, a black curtain dropped over all of them.
Ryan, you stoop. You triple stoop. How could you let this happen to your people? It's a wonder you can change yourself.
Strange and haunting visions filled Ryan Cotter's head. Traitor loomed large, spittle running down his chin, his eyes wild and fiery. Then Traitor mutated into Ryan's dead brother Harvey, who was dripping blood and falling over as Ryan pummeled him with blows.
You as well?
Ryan's twisted nephew Jabez loomed in the background, before coming forward with a long sword grasped in his hands. Ryan was astounded to find that he had no weapons with which to defend himself. Suddenly, Ryan saw his son Dean in the background.
It'll soon be over, Dad.
Jabez charged toward Ryan, swinging the blade. Ryan sat bolt upright. It had been nothing but a nightmare. It was now dark and cold. He ached all over. All the blood he could feel on his body was now dried, cracking on his skin as he moved. His head was throbbing. Then it occurred to him. He was sitting upright, but not in a cave under tons of rock. He was breathing and still alive, and although it was dark all around him, as his eyes adjusted, he could see that it was actually the dark of a moonless night. A few stars were visible through a cloudy sky. And it was also extremely cold. Tentatively, testing for any breaks or sprains as he got to his feet, Ryan rose and took a long look around, trying to get his bearings. In the darkness, this was a thankless task. Even though his vision had now adjusted to the gloom, he could see nothing that would mark the territory. He found it hard to work out how exactly he had ended up at this point. He could remember trying to dig out Mildred and JB, and then some kind of quake in the caves. Somehow, they had been caught on an earth movement like a wave, thrown out of the cave system when it crested at the surface. At least, he had.
But what about the others?
Moving slowly, still testing the range of movement he had, sharp pains reminded him of the violence his body had encountered. He began to look around. He was moving more easily with each step. Aching limbs that were cramped as much as bruised started to respond. His circulation pumped stronger as he exerted himself. Ryan whirled, trying to locate where the voice emanated from. As swiftly as his still pain-deadened and cramping limbs would let him, Ryan half ran, half dragged himself to where the movement was. Falling to his knees, he began to dig. He had no idea who was underneath or what part of them he was uncovering until a foot came into view. A foot shod in a cowboy boot that glittered, even in this fellow light, at the toe.
Christy!
Ryan burrowed frantically, uncovering Christy's prone body. She moved against him as he reached her torso, feebly batting at him with weak arms, as though trying to ward off an attacker. By the time Ryan was able to take hold of her, she was semi-conscious. As he tried to lift her free, he stumbled, his legs and arms giving way under the weight. It was all he could do not to drop back onto the rocks. Sweat spangled his brow and ran in rivulets down his face, despite the cold night air. He braced himself, taking the faltering steps necessary to bring them beyond the area of rock debris. As he placed her on softer earth, she opened her eyes.
Ryan?
Wait. Wait here. I'm gonna look for the others.
Leaving Christy, Ryan stumbled back toward the area of debris. Now, as the sun began to rise and cast the first pallid glow across the land, he could see that they had been forced out through the mouth of a pothole. It was a little like the one they had dived into when the Twister had hit. Ryan scanned the area. The important thing now was to try to find the others, if they had been as lucky as Christy and he had. He began a methodical search and tried to ascertain the extent of the debris thrown up from the pothole. It extended in a radius of several hundred yards, and looking to where he had dragged himself out and where he had found Christy, he could see that they had been flung some ways. Christy and he were alive, so chances were that the others also survived. The area proscribed by the arc of debris gave him a definite area in which to make a search, and the loose-strewn rubble provided the only air pockets and vents that made survival even possible. Ryan turned slowly to see Christy hobbling toward him.
Found anyone else yet?
Not yet. Trying to figure out the best place to start.
Two pairs of hands are better than one, right? I'll start a few hundred yards that way, and you start here. We'll work around until we reach each other's starting point, okay?
Good as any other plan.
Ryan watched her limp toward the point where she wanted to start digging, and realized that Christy had chosen a far-flung point to give her the time to psych herself up for the search.
Ryan! Over here!
Ryan looked up to find Christy waving at him, gesturing urgently to the rubble at her feet. Ryan began to move toward her, stumbling over the debris, his aching legs not as feeble as before, but still not carrying him as fast as he would wish. He reached the point where Christy was now down on her haunches, slowly but purposefully moving earth and rock. Falling to his knees, Ryan began to dig around the voice, around the area where Christy was already burrowing. Within 5 minutes, Christy and Ryan had managed to uncover Mildred. She was coated in a layer of dust and her clothes were ripped, with some signs of bleeding on her left leg. But otherwise, it seemed to be shock more than anything that was keeping her down. They gave her some water. Looking around with unfocused eyes, Mildred tried to take in what had happened. She squinted against the bright light, unable to discern at first that it was Ryan and Christy who had uncovered her. Stumbling, they carried her free of the debris.
Oh!
Stay put, Mildred. Rest.
But it was too much for Mildred to see them return to their digging while she was simply lying there. She forced herself to her feet, and as soon as she was able to keep her balance, she staggered over and joined Christy. The sun moved farther into the sky, the Arkansas Dust Bowl getting hotter and more oppressive. All three of them sweated heavily, their muscles cramping as they sifted their way through the rubble, working out from the center and clockwise. Finding Mildred so quickly had been an incredible stroke of luck. They had been digging unsuccessfully for almost 2 hours now, judging by the progress of the sun. Mildred heard it first. Unable to waste her breath on speaking, she tugged at Christy's arm. Christy seized her own excavations as Mildred indicated where she had heard the noise. In the sudden silence, Christy was able to determine that it was coming from only a short way away. It sounded like someone trying to burrow their way out. The two women exchanged glances, then made their way over to the source of the sound. Coming upon the site, they could see that there was someone beneath the rubble who was struggling for release.
Ryan! Over here!
Ryan looked up to see Christy and Mildred standing over a pile of rubble that seemed to be moving of its own accord. He rushed over. Christy and Mildred scrabbled away the soil and rocks until a mane of white hair became visible, followed by a white scarred face that was bruised and covered in blood and dust.
Jack!
Shit. Now I know how a gopher feels.
Despite the fact that he was aching all over, Jack still held himself upright and seemed less affected by their strange journey than those who had been moving around for some time.
What happened? Where Doc and JB?
We don't know yet. We're still looking. So far, it's just us four.
Let's start looking for the others.
Jack joined Ryan on the far side of the ruins, while Christy and Mildred resumed looking around the area where they had found Jack. The search continued for some time with no further success. The sun beat down on them, and the search became harder. The area of debris that was unturned grew smaller, and there was still no sign of anyone else.
Here!
Jack beckoned the others toward him. Ryan was closest, and as the others struggled toward Jack, Ryan could see something poking up from the rubble where Jack was standing. As Ryan got nearer, he could see that it was the end of a black cane.
Doc's sword stick.
As Ryan reached the spot, Jack was already on his knees, clearing away the debris. Ryan fell to his knees when he was close enough and started to help. When Mildred and Christy reached them, they too fell to their knees and began to dig. Doc wasn't moving under the rubble. Clearing the rubble around the end of the stick, Mildred found that Doc's fist was wrapped stubbornly around the silver lion's head. It took some time to clear all of the debris from around and over him, but eventually Doc was completely clear. Mildred examined him as thoroughly as she could. There didn't seem to be any broken bones. Ryan and Jack stood him between them and carried him clear of the area. The movement stirred him.
When shall we three meet? Parting is such sweet what, do I wonder? My dear, you look so sweet tonight. I thought I would never see you again, sweet Glory. Or is it Emily?
Ryan was glad when they put Doc down on the flat earth, and he returned with Jack to search for JB.
Ryan, you think Doc okay?
Maybe.
Jack looked at Ryan's grim visage, the fire in his ice-blue eye, and he knew that Ryan wouldn't rest until the armorer was found. Jack agreed with that, but was also worried about how long they could keep going in this heat, with little in the way of water and supplies.
Past noon. Soon be too hot to wake. Dust Bowl keeps in the heat. No good to JB if it wipe us out.
Yeah, you're right. We'll take the next 200 yards, roughly, of debris, and then rest up for a while. We'll also need to work out what water and food we've got to figure how long we can do this. Of course, if we're lucky, we won't have to hang around here too long.
Yeah, maybe.
By the end of the day, there was no sign of the missing armorer. There was still a good area of uncovered debris to be raked, but the companions were sore and weary, their muscles and bones protesting at the strain. Doc had been resting, but the others had all bent their backs to the task. Using whatever scrub they could find, they built a fire and sat silently around it, eating from their self-heats.
Think we find him?
We've got to. We can't stop trying.
They mounted a watch through the night, taking it in turns to guard while the others caught some much-needed rest. Sleep came easily as their bodies tried to recover from the rigors of the day. Morning came, but the rising of the sun offered no release from their mood. Acknowledging how exhausted they all were, and that going full tilt would benefit no one, Ryan organized a rota where they would divide up the remaining area. They would search in pairs, one on while the other rested. He excluded Doc from the rotation, much to the old man's initial annoyance. Although Doc's breathing had improved, a turn in the sun would likely cause him severe problems, as searching through the rubble only stirred up more dust and dirt in the air. The sun rose higher, burning down on their backs as they searched. There was no real shade, only that which they could construct with their coats and a few sticks taken from the surrounding scrub. They were dehydrated, striving to conserve the water they had left. On his off time, Jack tried to search for any water holes, but drew a blank. By nightfall, they were all beginning to give up hope. There was only a small area of the debris that hadn't been combed. They had little in the way of supplies, and another day or two under the harsh Arkansas sun would fry them.
We can't stop. He's got to be here somewhere. We were all pitched out here, so he must have been too. We just haven't found him.
But what are the chances of finding him alive now? God alone knows. I don't want to think about this, Ryan, you know that. But it's been 2 days. If he's been buried and unconscious that long under this sun...
We can't give up now.
I'm not saying we do. Just that we need to face the fact that we might not find him. If we carry on looking too long, we'll buy the farm ourselves.
You think I don't know that? One more day going through the last of the rocks. If he's chilled, then we give him a decent burial, right?
No one argued with that statement.